Happy Friday, everyone. We made it to the weekend. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Let's finish this week strong. We start with our continuing coverage of Hurricane Ian, which hit Florida just shy of a Category 5 storm this week. When daylight broke on Thursday, the first clear signs of destruction in Florida were revealed. Millions of people were without power. The hurricane dumped up to a foot of rain on some cities as it barreled across the Florida peninsula. And it may end up setting flooding records as one of the worst storms to ever hit the state. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis called it a 500-year flood event. Water and downed power lines is not a good combination, so many city streets were impossible to navigate. Roofs were torn off by the wind. Some buildings even collapsed. Emergency responders assisted with major rescue efforts, including pulling people from roofs, flooded homes, and submerged vehicles across the state. And Ian's path of destruction is not over. The storm dropped heavy rain on central and northeast Florida throughout Thursday and is expected to strengthen to a Category 1 hurricane and make a second landfall in South Carolina today. We'll continue to monitor the storm and keep you updated when our show resumes on Monday. Let's go now to CNN anchor John Berman, who's there for us in Florida to show some of the aftermath of Hurricane Ian.
Water is everywhere. That's the message from the sheriff of Collier County. Hurricane Ian left the streets in Naples submerged. Downed power lines made the roads treacherous. Members of the Naples Fire Department not spared.
Now we have a truck issue and the guys are pushing the truck out of the bay.
It's on fire.
Because why, Chief?
It seemed like the truck was going to catch on fire. It's smoking and we didn't want the station to burn down.
Are you guys okay?
Rescue efforts already underway. Emergency crews helping stranded residents in chest-deep floodwaters. The Naples Fire Department even seen hitching a ride on jet skis to get those in need.
It's a dangerous situation. We've already had several citizens that have just had to be retrieved.
And in Fort Myers, water as far as the eye can see, with homes and buildings almost completely underwater. Heavy winds blew through the city. The storm surge flooded the streets with an abandoned truck seen underwater. This time-lapse video shows floodwaters pouring onto the city streets.
We want to make sure that they do not venture out. It's not safe to go out, but we will come to them as soon as possible. But be encouraged. If they're still here, if they're able to, you know, just be able to think for a little bit and thank the lucky stars that they're still here, their family's still here, just wait for us. We're coming for you. Be encouraged. Do not go out.
In Tampa, this traffic light fell to the ground during the storm. The western coast of Florida saw huge waves, heavy winds, and lots of rain as Hurricane Ian barreled through the region. On Cape Coral, a lanai was seen flying from the hurricane force winds. On Pine Island, a storm chaser captured these huge waves hitting the island, and while driving saw this power flash. In Port Charlotte, a hospital flooded, leaving doctors and personnel wading through flooded hallways.
We had about 160 patients in-house, and our roof blew off part of the roof on the ICU, above the ICU.
10-second trivia. What's the name given to the hypothetical, immersive, virtual world existing on the internet? Second Life, MySpace, Metaverse, or 6G? Put your 3D headsets on. The correct answer is Metaverse. In 2022, approximately 66% of Americans owned their own home, and we're talking about apartments, condos, houses, townhouses, houseboats, you name it. But there's another type of property on the market, digital property. Sales shot up in 2021, generating more than $500 million. Global businesses like Samsung and Adidas have already invested in virtual land, and by 2030, it's estimated that the metaverse could generate between $4 and $5 trillion. But what's the point of having a living room you can't sit in or a kitchen where you can't cook? For now, the metaverse is just an idea. Here's Anna Stewart with more.
This is Decentraland. It's just one of the hundreds of metaverse platforms in existence. After Facebook changed their name to Meta in 2021, digital worlds like this experienced a land boom. One property here even sold for $2.4 million. Meeting me at the platform's trade center is Sam Huber, the CEO of LandVault.
Sam, thank you so much for joining us.
So this is where I could buy myself some real estate.
This is the in-world marketplace.
His company buys, builds, and rents out property to brands in the metaverse. They say they own hundreds of real estate plots in more than a dozen worlds. Some of that land, Sam says, he's rented out for $60,000 a month.
Do brands really know, though, what the value is yet in the metaverse? It's in the nascent stages, really. Are they wasting their money investing in a space they maybe don't fully understand yet?
No, definitely not. I mean, you know, history has proven that being early, testing and learning is definitely a way to capture a disproportionate advantage.
Global businesses like Samsung and Adidas, to name a couple, say they've already invested in virtual land, building experiences to engage with the estimated 2 billion people who will access the metaverse daily by 2026.
You need to start speaking the language of those people who have been, were basically born with the internet. They don't really watch TV. Instead, they play games. So they are metaverse, you know, native. They are the citizens of the metaverse. And brands today need to start understanding that. Otherwise, they are at the big risk of becoming irrelevant.
There are companies around the world heeding Sam's advice, like Ali Sajwani's company, Damac.
This is our latest sales center, 63rd floor of Econ City.
Headquartered in Dubai, they say they're the largest private property developer in the Middle East. For Ali, the metaverse is an opportunity to help boost sales of his physical properties around the world. When a customer buys an apartment or a home from Damac, they'll receive the digital version of it as well.
You can interact with your neighbors. You can meet with them online. We'll have some online games. So we're creating a sense of community, in essence.
Physical or virtual, that community comes at a price.
The penthouse is over $30 million.
$30 million. Can I just have the virtual version?
Just because you know me.
Anna Stewart, CNN, Dubai.
For today's 10 out of 10, I want to introduce you to Cassie. Cassie's now officially the Guinness World Record holder for fastest robot on two legs. Not yet blazing, finishing the 100 meter dash in 24 seconds, but it's still amazing. This half a human, half a Jurassic Velociraptor looking robot was built with a $1 million grant from the U.S. Department of Defense by the robotics program at Oregon State University. Cassie, which operates through machine learning, also completed a 5K on campus and can go up and down stairs. This technology could be used in the future to deliver packages or work in disaster scenarios. We're already seeing robots working in factories, making food in restaurants. Soon we could see all kinds of things being done by robots. Now, before we go, you made it to Friday. Good job. And special shout out to South Middle School in Braintree, Massachusetts. We hope you and everyone watching around the world have a wonderful weekend. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Remember, do the little things that make the world a better place.